What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with Matt Hogan. And to give you a little bit of the inside scoop on Matt and who he is, Matt is someone who has an endless fascination and devotion to the path of self-mastery. And he's someone who helps others reclaim peace, power, love, and freedom, both in their personal life as well as in their life professionally, and using a variety of disciplines, including leadership technology, cutting-edge coaching tools, and even philosophical spiritual approaches, Matt helps his clients tap into what he calls their own inner teacher. And on this episode, a few things that we dive into is how putting a bullet in Matt's head at the age of 18 actually ended up saving literally his life. And we also talk about owning the desire that you may have sitting inside of yourself that you deserve more. And we talk about how do you move from a conditioned mind to ultimately a full potential mind. There is so much juice, so much goodness in this episode. I'm excited for you to dive into our conversation. And if you haven't already, make sure you hit the subscribe button so we can come back and have a conversation with you every single week. And if you're enjoying the show, if you'd leave us a rating, we would be extremely, extremely grateful because that's how we get this show in front of more people. So without that, we are going to dive right into the conversation. Here we go. Matt Hogan, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, Stu. How you doing, brother?
I'm blessed, man. You know, breathing, living, all the good things. And as we kick this thing off, first, again, thanks for being here. Really excited to dive into your story today. And I would love it as we kick this thing off, if you could give our listener just kind of a inside look to really, you know, who's Matt Hogan? What do you do? And just, I guess, fill us in a little bit on who you are.
Love to. You know, I've spent the past 18 years deep diving into my own ways of finding clarity and direction. And it all began when I was 18. It was in 2004. I had no idea what I was doing with my life. I was really, really struggling and actually ended up putting a bullet in my head. I attempted my life when I was 18 because I literally couldn't figure out what I was here for. Like, it was so hard to be here. And yeah. That ignited a fire in me after I recovered and went through, had relearned to walk again and was told I never would. And it was the first time I really heard a deep voice of my inner wisdom, my inner teacher speak to me and light this fire that's been with me ever since. And for the past 18 years, my entire life has been about igniting and living my full potential. It has been about taking this feeling of, I know there's so much more in here that I can bring to life and living it.
Yeah.
And that has taken me through from that experience into college, where I graduated with honors. It took me into corporate, where I built a multi-million dollar portfolio for a top five global brand and led a team of 100 people. And then it took me from there, when I left corporate and went out to working with high performers and leaders and executives, took me to a trip around the world for a year. And it's just continued to be a fire in my life of seeking, what does it truly mean to be all that I really am? And that's what I've been doing for 18 years.
Mm. Damn, a beautiful ending to, well, obviously you're still here, so not ending, but a beautiful ending to, you know, a pretty crazy event. You know, I can't imagine, you know, they say like when something like that happens, right, it's more painful to be alive than it is to not be alive. And that's why you make a decision like that, which I'm grateful you're here. I'm grateful you were not successful in that. And yeah. I'm curious, like, what was the biggest lesson? Like you said, it brought this fire out and it's so beautiful. You've lived this fire and continued to pour this fire even into other people over the last 18 years. What would you say is like the biggest lesson that you're always going back to when you think of that moment?
That no matter how hard life can feel, there is always a way through. And that no matter how limited or weak or held back we think we are, we can handle bigger feelings and bigger challenges than we could ever imagine. And that's ultimately what, I didn't really answer your question about what I do. I really help my clients through the really hard shit. And it's the really facing the really deep, hard feelings of, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? What is this all for? I'm getting older and nothing's changing. I'm wasting my time. And even around deeper conversations. And it is always for me amazing to see for myself then and throughout the years and my clients is we can handle so much more than we realize.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that. I know one of the things you help people with, right, is kind of learning the lessons from some of like the dark side that, you know, can be part of your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you could speak on that a little bit more. You know, we can handle so much as humans, right? And oftentimes we do go through things that seem, you know, unfair, unjust, whatever you want to call it. But I'm curious, like, what do you really help people do when you say you can bring stuff from that sort of like dark side or darker part of your life, really?
I'll give an example. I was supporting a woman out in nature yesterday. And so I'm in Arizona right now. We went out on the land for a few hours. And so much of what she sees as her potential is I've got to just push through this fear. Just, I don't want to feel this fear. I don't want to feel this sadness. I don't want to feel this grief. I don't want to feel this anger. I just need to be here. And it's always rising, like pulling your bootstraps up and being the best you can be in every moment and repressing everything that doesn't feel like the best. And what I have to show my clients again and again and help them see rather than just tell is that no, there's gifts and messages in your fear. No, there's gifts and messages in you being able to honor that you're sad, being able to honor that you're pissed off. And the more we can actually go into our emotions, not get lost in them and not let them consume us, but be able to truly listen to them, process them, and learn from them, those things that we often call our dark side, our bad side, are the things that actually enliven that deeper potential that we all crave to live.
Yeah. Interesting. So it's almost like in the quote unquote, not positive things, like they're signals, they're messages to us. If, and I love how you said this, if we can sort of unpack it and sit with it and process it rather than getting lost in it.
Right. I'll give an example.
Yeah, please.
When I was with that woman yesterday, she was like really trying to push away from a lot of sadness because she'd had just a loss of a relationship and she had some other things happen in her family that were going on that were really hard for her. And she was also at this place of really shedding an old identity of who she used to be. And she kept trying to push it away. And I asked, I was like, are you willing to go into it? And so I invited her. I said, tell me about the experience in your body. What is happening in your body? It feels like my stomach, I got punched in the stomach. My chest feels like it's caving in. Okay, I want you to sit there and feel that. Let all of it in. Like, stop running from it and let it in. And after some deep breaths and encouragement, letting her know, I'm like, you can handle big feelings. You can do this. Yeah. What ended up happening is she finally just released like these tears and sorrow that she'd been holding for so long. And what became amazing about it was 5 minutes later, after that process I took her through, she's sitting up straight, her shoulders are back opened. She's got a smile on her face. She's lit up. And I said, where are you now? She goes, I'm back to me. I'm back to me.
Let's go.
So we have to be able to go into it.
Yeah. So let's say, you know, our listener right now is maybe listening to this and they're going like, all right, Matt, I feel you. Like, I'm going through some shit and it's not positive and it's hard, right? Definitely easier said than done. What are like a few things someone could do to maybe work some of these things that aren't necessarily like quote unquote positive things in their life, but things they can still pull lessons or messages or, you know, even find peace in? Like, what are a few things? Is it, you know, doing some breath work? Is it sitting with it? Is it journaling? Like, what would you say something that someone could do if they're going through something tough?
Well, I'll share what I've seen personally experienced. I'd love to hear your experience too, because I know that this is something you probably could talk to pretty well as well. So the question is really about, if I'm going through some stuff right now, some really hard stuff, what can I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the first things is to be willing to just pause and be honest and say, this is hard. Mm. That is one of the hardest things for us to do for so many people, just to say, no, this is hard. And then not argue with the fact that it's hard. Yeah. Like, it's like we're somehow supposed to be wired for everything to be easy. No, it's messy to be human. If we really want to live that full life, that vibrant life,
yeah,
and feel balanced and fulfilled and purposeful, we've got to acknowledge that it gets messy. So acknowledge it first. Just say, yo, this is hard. And let's start there. That's step one. And then you can go into, talk more about what's hard about it. Tell me about the feelings. Tell me about all the mental narratives about how your life may not be going the way it's supposed to be, how you're supposed to be better than this, or how you're trying to stop, level up for other people. What are all those narratives? What are all the things that people are, that are going on inside of you? Then go into the body experience. What is the physical representation of this? Is your chest really tight? Is your heart beating fast? Does your stomach feel like it's in knots? Connect with that too. And then from there, once you've done that, my encouragement is to first spend time with the body sensations, to spend time actually feeling through those. So if your stomach feels like it's being punched, I want you to literally close your eyes, put your hands on your chest and your body as if you're holding yourself, and let yourself feel it and breathe. And notice that if you do this, it may not happen immediately, but what will happen over time is that body experience will start to shift, and any fears, any limiting beliefs that are actually held within those body experiences can be released when that releases. Then you can journal and process about it so the mind can catch up with what the hell just happened.
Yeah. I love that. Heck yeah. And I would say one thing that I would add in there as well, which would almost be like after you've done all the stuff you've spoke about, right? Because it is sitting there processing it, right? Kind of feeling it and owning it. And once you get through all of that, I would say one of the biggest things is just asking yourself, like, what's the lesson that I could get from this? Right? What's this trying to teach me? And how can you use that ultimately to create a better next step for your life, right? Because in everything that happens to us in life, there's a lesson, there's a message, there's a learning, there's something, regardless of how not positive it is, there's something that we can learn from that to take the next step of our life, right? And so I would say that's just one other thing to add to it. And I'm curious if we kind of go back into your story for a second.
I'm going to pause you 1 second, if you don't mind. I want to add to that, because that was beautiful what you just added. And then it actually just added something else from, I was listening to your episode earlier of the power of being uncomfortable. And you noted something beautiful there. I was like, what did I learn from this? Well, there's that conscious, like, what did I learn? But there's also something subconscious that happens by you doing that too. And you learn how to be okay with your discomfort. So the next time it's going to be a little easier. So I'm going to, you may want to listen to your episode on that, because that was really good.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And so, you know, if we go back into your life, right, you're 18, you have this, you know, life-changing event, to say the least. And eventually you go through a crazy event, right? As we all go through crazy things in life, maybe not that crazy, but we go through things in life, and eventually you get to a point where you go back to quote unquote, like, normal life, right? And so for you, you know, eventually you're 20 years old, you go to college. And I'm curious, as you kind of went through that process, having gone through some of the stuff in your past, when would you say was the next time in your life that you really started to ask yourself, like, what's my purpose? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? Right. Obviously, you know, as you go through school and things like that, your life does get to a point where you go, okay, I'm supposed to go into the real world and, you know, become a professional and all of this. So I'm curious for you, kind of what was that process like when you got to that phase the next time?
I'll be honest, when I was 25, after finishing my degrees and leaving school, that's not a very good example, because I'll be honest, I floundered. I flopped around. I had a hard time leaving college. I was a mess. I had a hard time letting go of the party lifestyle. I had a hard time with the growing up piece, because I was like, this is the first time I actually feel like I got to be young. And I didn't want to let it go. So I'm not going to use that story, because it won't be very useful. It may not be useful, other than just acknowledge again that sometimes we just don't know, and it's okay to be where we're at. And fighting it can make it worse. And that was my problem. I spent all my time yelling at myself, like, why don't you know this? Why don't you know the way? And I that didn't help me at all. But I'll fast forward to a more prominent, clear example that does offer a little bit of guidance too. When I was 31, when I was 27, I started out supporting Google as an individual contributor. And first in the doors, I was determined to move towards a director position. And over the course of 4.5 years, I was promoted 7 times. And in that time, built a national sales and support team. And the ticket said the team was about 100 people by the time I left. And it was a multi-million dollar portfolio. But I got to a point where I wasn't challenged anymore. And I felt stagnant. There was just this feeling. It was just something's not right. My life is just off. Where did my zest go? Where did my sense of just being alive go? And I dealt with it for a while, to be honest with you. I was in this space of delusionment. I'm like, oh, this is just normal life. This is just the way it is. And you just get old and nothing changes. I relied so heavily on that director's position to be the end all be all. Like, this is what's going to fulfill my life. Once this, I get this new raise and this new position. And then I got the position and I was like, crap, I feel worse. And I dealt with it for a little while. I mean, I had the fleeting happiness, but it wasn't nothing like balloons dropping from the ceiling magic. And it didn't fix my life. I struggled with it for a while, just kind of just accepted it as it was and didn't really try to do anything, to be honest. And then my fiance and I separated, and that just opened up a whole new door where I started looking at my life. And I later that year, and this would be 2017. I did something crazy for me. I put a few countries in a hat and drew the Philippines and went to the Philippines for a month. And
I love that.
What I had to start with really was, again, acknowledging something ain't right. There's like just something in my gut that says I'm not living the way I'm meant to be living. And I had to start there. But for me, I literally had to get out of my environment. You don't have to go across the world to do it. You can just go in the woods. But I had to acknowledge that, no, something ain't right. And I had to also acknowledge all the fears in my brain that were saying, here's all the reasons you need to just be okay with what you have. Accept what you're, be grateful what you have, quit asking for more, and just stay here and be happy. And I had to face that. And I went, when I saw that, I was like, holy shit. I didn't even realize that inner dialogue was happening. And so there's the feeling. And then I look at my brain and my brain's like, nope, you got to stay here. There's nothing else for you. But when I was in there in the Philippines, I remember this moment very acutely. I'm sitting at a hostel, picnic table outside, drinking a cup of coffee. I'm just like feverishly writing in my notebook. And I'm writing out all these thoughts that my brain is telling me what I can't do and what I can't have. And all of a sudden I just had like a floodgate of tears, like snot bubbles and everything just coming down my face. And just as I realized that, wow, this is all me making this happen. This is all me that's keeping me here. And it was that moment when I really started to notice the difference between a conditioned mind and the full potential of the mind. Because it's not our mind that is limited. It's the conditioning of the mind that's limited. And that was a really hard moment for me. That was like the first part of it. I'm happy to add more, but I want to stop here because I just said a lot of words.
That's a world-class story and breakdown you gave there. And one thing I just want to point out that was so, like, I hope everybody hears that is that moment you had in your life where you're like, this is not, like, this is not how I should be living my life. And to have that conversation with yourself is one of those moments where you need to get like real honest with yourself. And it's way, again, easier said than done. And I love how you even said it where it's like, when you have that moment of going, this is not what my life's supposed to look like. But then all those little fears start to creep in of, well, you should just be happy. You should be content. You should, you know what I mean? You got an income, you have a job, right? And it's like, you, all those fears trap you back into this place of never actually moving out of that. And just kudos to you and for taking action regardless, right? And I think it's a gift you've given to all of our listeners who may be going through something similar where it's like, this is not what I'm supposed to be living, but they have those fears and moving through those. And I love also your breakdown of the conditioned mind and the full potential mind. And so if you could expand upon that a little bit more for us, because, you know, let's say someone is in that place of, this is not what my life should look like, right? That's the conditioned mind speaking. So can you speak a little further to, you know, how do you go from a conditioned mind to, let's say, a full potential mind?
I want to first acknowledge that the deeper desires, the deeper longings we have that says, I'm meant for something better. I'm meant for some kind of greatness. I'm meant to serve these lives. I'm meant to find a loving partner. I'm meant to build a community, whatever it is. That starts in our heart. And I want to acknowledge that first, that those longings are very real. And it's not something that is fake. What happens though with those longings is then our conditioned mind that says, this is who you are. This is who you're not. This is what is allowed. This is what is not allowed. And this is what you should feel guilty about, ashamed about, angry about, will come in and immediately take those longings and squash them. It'll get all diluted and mixed up. And it's really, really confusing. So I want to start with that to first acknowledge and validate those longings are real. So for any time when your mind is trying to tell you that they're bogus, do I really want this? Is it true that that's important, or am I just full of it? Don't disregard those feelings. Those are real.
Let's go. Love that.
The second thing I want to add about the mind is, as we break the conditioning of our mind wants to serve our heart's longings. Our mind is a better servant than a master. And so as you start to break down the cage, I like to call it a cage because I for so long felt like my mind was in a cage.
Yeah.
As that cage starts to break, you'll notice how your mind, if you can communicate with your heart and your mind, you can see how your mind will want to help your heart's longings come to life. It's like, here's how we can do that. Oh, let's go here. But we have to first really start to get crystal clear to come back to your question. What is real and what is not? And what I mean by that, and I'll give some examples. A person that I work with was crying on a few messages that they sent me. And she's apologizing for crying. And I said, first off, you never need to apologize to me or anyone in your life for crying. If you need to cry, you cry.
Yeah.
And then I said, second, it's important to consider where you learned there's something wrong with that. So when your mind is telling you what is so, really check in. Is that objective reality? Is that objective fact? Or is that something you picked up along the way that you've just played over and over? For me, mine was, and you think back to the story I started with, just to be very clear, it was my internal dialogue was I was a worthless piece of crap. Like, and that I would never amount to anything. And yet my heart was like, no, this is bogus. And that's where that push came from. My mind is saying this, trying to slow me down. My heart's like, no, yo, there's so much more for you. Yeah. And that was the battle for the 18 years until I really broke through a lot of that. And so start with acknowledging when you really just write down and pay attention to your mind's narratives. What do you think is objective reality about you? And what do you think might just be implanted somewhere along the line? You just didn't realize it.
Yeah. Love that. And it is, you know, I think there's such a big part of life where we go through life and like our life is a reality and we live the life we live based off of all the experiences we've been in the past. And a lot of the time we do it unconsciously. And I know at least I can remember the day this happened for me, but I think if you're fortunate enough, there's a day where all of a sudden you go, wait. Like, this is what I've been taught. This is what I've been told. This is why I am where I am today because of all these things that have happened in my past. But like, what do I really want with my life, right? What do I want my life to look like? Who do I want to be? Who do I want to define myself as? And when you can get crystal clear on that, you step into an entirely different version of your life. Because finally, for the first time, you go from, I'm not living based off of my past conditions and teachings and lessons and all these things I was programmed from as a kid. You go, I'm going to create a life because this is what I actually want with my life. And this is who I want to be. And if you can step into that space, it's such a, it's an eye opener. And I think a huge piece, like you said, is it is asking yourself, what are the things I was conditioned on? And to give a little bit of the context of my own story, where this happened to me was about 9 years ago. And for me, I was always programmed, you know, not directly by people. It's just what my mind took in, that I was programmed as like the shy, you know, I'm in the shadow type of person. And at one point I made the decision that that's not who I want to be with my life. Like, I don't want to be the kid that's just in the shadow, kind of just coasting through life. I want to be someone that really like makes an impact here. And it shifted the trajectory of my life. And so I think for anyone listening to this, you want to ask yourself, what does your life look like based on the conditions, stories, experiences you've had in your past? And what do you actually want your life to look like from this day forward? And if you can get clear on that and you can start taking action towards that, you can start to create this sort of life that you spoke about, which is this full potential life, right? Not just a life based off your conditions, but a life that you actually want to live.
You mind if I add a nuance to that?
Drop it.
Yes. Let's to everything it. You said. And one thing I wish I would have realized when I started having those conversations with myself was the understanding of how personal evolution works. And what I mean by that is, it's great to be able to pause and go, who do I want to be in the world? What do I want my life to be? It's also beneficial when we can add a length of time on there. And here's what I mean. Like, for example, who is it that I want to be in the world for the next 3 months? Show up as that person, because in 3 months, you're going to be a different person. And then ask yourself that question again. So that way you're not going, who am I going to be for the next 50, 60 years? That's just too big. Our mind just goes, it explodes. And so that short term can be something that's tangible, accessible, and doable. And I like to call it the 5% momentum. What's the 5% momentum from here? And so if you can look at it, like take everything you just said and say over the next 3 months, over the next 6 months, it can be more bite-sized.
Yeah, I love that. So let's say that you, like if we erased what has already happened in your life and you still have the knowledge, and let's say all of a sudden you come to a point where you're making the decision of, okay, I've realized all these things in my past have happened and all these situations and circumstances, and it's taken me where I am today. And I've had this moment in this conversation with myself of like, this is not what I want my life to look like. Mm-hmm. What would you say would be the first, I don't know, maybe three steps that you would take going from that place, knowing what you know today, to get back to living a life of fulfillment and a life that you're genuinely excited about?
I'm happy to answer that. And I would love to hear your answer too, Stu, after this, because I feel like you got a good answer too.
Yeah.
You good with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. So swiping the slate clean, I'm at a place where something's not right. I want to really realign my life and I need to get the clarity of where I'm going from here. So this is something that we haven't talked about yet today, but a really big part of what I've had to do over the past 18 years and what I do with my clients is actually learning to discern my own internal teacher, my own internal wisdom. You can call it intuition, you can call it heart, whatever you want to call it. It's that still small voice that we all have. It's that voice that's saying, you can do more. You can be more. This is not what you want. And so starting with, what does that voice sound like in me? Is it a quiet voice in my gut? Is it more of like a sensation in my chest? Where do I hear that voice? Start there. Because that's going to be the voice that then says, this is what's not right in your life right now. This is what needs to change. And this is what you really want. And here's the first step.
Love that. Heck yeah. That's beautiful. And it's such an interesting thing when I hear you say that. And I think it's so true. Is that sometimes it really can be simple. Right. And I say that in the sense that it's like, you know, sometimes we think that we need to do 300 things to kind of figure out the next step in our life. But if we can just say, okay, let me just sit with myself. And it's obviously a process. You have to learn to be able to sit with yourself and get wisdom from yourself, right? But if you can do that, it's one of the best ways you can get this next step, mm-hmm. right? But oftentimes we think it's more complex. So I 100% agree that it's get still, right? Listen to what internally you feel you're supposed to be doing and then take the step, right? And the other thing I would add on to it would just be oftentimes when you get that, it's going to sound weird. Maybe there's going to be some fear around it. Maybe there's going to be some uncertainty around it, right? But you want to ultimately lean into that, right? Because if you lean into that, that's what's going to take you to a place of, like we talked about the episode I did, right? Getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? It's like when you lean into that, that's going to create this sort of next chapter of your life that can be a beautiful chapter if you allow yourself to go there. But if the fear, if the unknown, whatever shows up, and we pull ourselves back from it, that's when we continue to sit in this place of not actually living to our fullest potential.
You know, I'm really curious, Stu, if you'd be willing to share a personal example of where you got still in a moment like that, where you're like, I'm not quite on the right path here. And you got still and you turned in and you found that voice and you found that step. Do you have an example? I'd love to hear it. I think everyone listening would love to hear it too.
Yeah, let's think of a recent one. So definitely a recent part of my life was, you know, I speak for Tony Robbins, and that's a big piece of what I do. And I've had this podcast for 3.5 years we've been going, which is awesome. But back when I was maybe in the beginning of starting this podcast, I had a moment in my life where I just felt like called for more. You know, I felt like I was supposed to do something with the gifts that I had in my life. And so for me, I got quiet. And what I started to ask myself, right, is like, what's next? What am I supposed to be doing? And for me, it was basically like hosting an event at the college that I was going to, right? And teaching people some of the things I had learned from my life and just allowing myself to just go for it and not know if it was going to work out, not know if people were going to get anything from it, not know if anybody was going to show up. But when I went into that process, the two biggest things, I guess, for me was one, it was definitely that feeling of fear and discomfort and all of that. But I think the second piece, which allowed me to be successful in taking that step, was like fully 120% pushing into it. Because I think sometimes when the fear shows up and the uncertainty shows up, we can go, okay, I'm gonna like tiptoe into this. But the reality is, if you want to get all the benefits from it, you have to go, okay, this thing, you know, it. I'm getting this like idea of what I'm supposed to do, and you got to full press, right? You got to go 120% into it. And when you do that, that's really when you can maximize the opportunity that you're being guided towards. So for me, that was kind of one time that's happened. But I'm always trying to, you know, I meditate daily if I'm, you know, staying in alignment. And I'm always asking for guidance and just wisdom as far as like, what am I supposed to be focusing on? What's next? Where should I put my energy? And that's always allowed me to have a lot of clarity as I take action in my life. So
it sounds like within all that too, there's a guiding voice in you that knows what's next.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And a lot of the time it does push me into things that are uncomfortable. You know, a lot of the time that voice isn't like, go make a sandwich. Like, I wish that thing said, go make a sandwich. My life would be, less fulfilling, but easier. Right. But you know, life's going to be hard. You got to pick your hard, right? So
you'd make one hell of a sandwich, I bet.
I would make one hell of a sandwich. Very true. Well, Matt, my man, it's been an absolute honor to have you on the show. I've really, really enjoyed diving through your story and all the lessons that, you know, you've collected through this. And there's so much value in this episode. I really appreciate you for kind of just being an open book. And I'm curious, for people that want to get more info on you, see what you're up to, learn more about your world, where is the best place for them to find you and basically continue to hang out?
Yeah. So there's a couple things. One, over the past 18 years, like I said, the core of my life has been finding clarity and direction. I have been in this constant state for 18 years of renew, step into the unknown, renew, step into the unknown. And so over the past 18 years, what emerged for me was a methodology that I use with my clients. And I turned part of it into a workbook that I brought today. and that will be linked in the show notes. And the whole purpose of it is to take you through creating clarity and direction for you right now. You just download it, sit down, answer some questions, and actually be with it. Then its purpose to help you create some clarity and move forward. And so after you listen to this, go into the show notes, download it. And then if you, my email is in there, but I'll just say it out loud. My email is matt@matthoganworldwide.com. And if you have any questions about it and you get stuck on it and want some support, let me know. If you just want to have a conversation, I'm open to that too. And then the final piece is my website's matthoganworldwide.com.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, we will put all that in the show notes, so it's super easy access for everybody. And the last question I have for you, and it's a question we ask all of our guests because we believe in helping people find direction, but doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
To really bring enough clarity, I would say download that workbook and answer the few questions that are in there. Literally, just give yourself 30 minutes to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's easy, right? Download it, answer the questions. Pretty simple. So love it, love it. Well, Matt, thank you again so much for being here. Massively, you know, truly have enjoyed our conversation. Again, so much value. And just thank you for your time and energy and for being here.
Thank you for you, Stu. Thank you for creating this space for people that are really just trying to find direction and be, you know, deep down who they know themselves to be and as they're coming into their own. So thank you for creating this space.
Absolutely.